الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين يرمون أزواجهم ولم يكن لهم شهداء إلا أنفسهم فشهادة أحدهم 4 شهادات بالله إنه لمن الصادقين. والخامسة أن لعنة الله عليه إن كان من الكاذبين. ويدرأ عنها العذاب أن تشهد 4 شهادات بالله إنه لمن الكاذبين. والخامسة أن غضب الله عليها إن كان من الصادقين. ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته وأن الله تواب حكيم. الله تبارك وتعالى now discusses the fourth law pertaining to zina. We first discussed the punishment and the penalty of the adulterer and the adulteress. Then we discussed the inclination of the adulterer to the adulteress. Then we discuss accusing a woman innocent of zina, what the consequences are, that if a person does not have substantial proof, then he will be lashed 80 lashes for accusing a woman. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala speaks about that law that we discuss of accusing a woman is of a strange woman, anyone other than one's own wife. When these ayat-e kareema were revealed, one sahabi by the name of Sa'd bin Ubadah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the leader of the Ansar of Medina, came to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, O Nabi of Allah, were these verses actually revealed by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very disturbed by this statement of Hazrat Sa'd bin Ubadah radiyallahu anhu, and he said, O my sahabi, are you in doubt that Allah has revealed it or not? They were discussing when Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu intervened and he said, No, O Nabi of Allah, do not be offended by the statement of Sa'd bin Ubadah. He is not questioning the authority of the words and the orders of Almighty Allah. It is his gharat, and the actual question that he wants to ask is that if a person finds his wife in a similar situation with a strange person, then in the light of what we discussed earlier, until and unless he does not have three other proof with himself, till then he should not submit the claim. And if he does and he does not have proof, then he will be given 80 lashes. So, O Nabi of Allah, if one of us find ourselves in a situation like this, must he go and look for witnesses, which is really difficult, simply for the reason that he wouldn't want anyone to see his wife in this act. And number two, by the time he will go and look for witnesses, by that time perhaps they will be finished with whatever they want to do. So, O Nabi of Allah, how should he conduct himself when he finds himself in a situation like this with his wife? Now, respected listeners, we must understand, we are speaking of people who had preserved their nature in totality. People who were living a clean and a pure life. A person could not accept it at any cost that anyone must do anything to my wife. Any strange person must touch my wife or have any unlawful or illegal relations. Unfortunately, the environment in which we are living, we see it is a mushahada that the so-called most powerful person of the dunya can commit adultery. It is known to his wife, not only to his wife, to the citizens of his country and to the entire dunya, published in books. It will remain forever and ever, yet they can live together and the people can still honor such a person. The environment in which we are living, this is what we witness every day. But this sahabi says, O Nabi of Allah, if I have to see my wife in a similar situation, I won't know what to do. Must I go look for 4 witnesses at that time? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained silent. Few days had passed by and a similar incident transpired. A sahabi by the name of Hilal bin Umayyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, one night after Isha Salah, returning from his farm, he comes home. And when he arrives at home, he finds a stranger with his wife. Next morning, full of grief and sorrow, he comes to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he narrates this incident to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the sahaba ikram were very disturbed because this Hazrat Hilal bin Umayyah is from amongst the Ansar. And it was just a matter of few days ago that one of the Ansari leaders, that was Hazrat Sa'd bin Ubadah, he was asking, O Nabi of Allah, if such a situation has to arise, may Allah make it such that it doesn't happen, but if need comes, that such a situation comes, then what should we do? And he hardly spoke about it, and now it has happened in Medina amongst the Ansar. So at that time, no order from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had revealed pertaining to accusing one's own wife with zina. The only order that was revealed was what I discussed yesterday, and that applies to your wife or a strange person at that particular moment. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, O Hilal, you are accusing your wife of zina. If you have 3 other witnesses with yourself, then and she is guilty of the crime and the proof is found, then according to the Islamic law, she will be pelted. Now, respected listeners, we must ponder. Today it has become difficult for us to pelt to death, and we say that is barbaric. But don't we realize, by neglecting this order of Almighty Allah, this divine calamity that has come on insan in the form of AIDS, thousands of people are losing their lives. Whereas, if this sin will be destroyed from the root, then like Almighty Allah mentions in the Quran, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that if the life of an innocent person is taken, in revenge the murderer's life will also be taken. And Allah says, by taking his life, you are not being barbaric, you are being kind to him, and you are being kind to all the others. If you will not take his life, then this will pave the way for other murderers to go out and murder people. And by not establishing this order of Allah, thousands of people, innocent people, will lose their lives. And Allah Ta'ala mentions, if you will establish this order of Allah, then no one will take the courage of killing anyone else. So Allah Ta'ala says, by establishing this order of minds, you are not killing souls, you are protecting souls, and you are preserving them. And by neglecting this order of Allah, thousands of innocent people are losing their lives. So he says, O Nabi of Allah, in such a situation, what should I do? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, as I mentioned, that if you have your three witnesses, and your wife is found guilty, then according to the Islamic ruling, we will decide about rajam. And if you do not have three other witnesses with you, then you will be proved guilty, that you are accusing her, and you will be given 80 lashes. So he says, no, O Nabi of Allah, I know I am speaking the truth. Now I do not have witnesses, because when the actual episode happened, there was no one there. And O Nabi of Allah, you do not expect me to go and call my neighbor to come and witness the evil of my household. So, O Nabi of Allah, I have yaqeen and I have conviction in Allah that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will reveal something else in the Quran confirming my honesty, and Allah Ta'ala will reveal some different hukam when it comes to accusing one's own wife. Perhaps the hukam that was revealed only refers to strange woman. No order has come down. But look at the reliance of the Sahabi on Allah. He is discussing with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and says, no, I have firm conviction that something will come down confirming my honesty. The discussion is happening. فَنَذَلَ Jibreel descends with these verses of Surah Nur, and then he inspired it on the heart of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions, وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ أَزْوَاجَهُمْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ شُهَدَاءُ إِلَّا أَنفُسُهُمْ فَشَهَادَةُ أَحَدِهِمْ أَرْبَعُ شَهَادَاتٍ بِاللَّهِ. Those among you who accuse their wives of the act of zina and have no evidence but themselves, exactly what he asked and exactly according to the situation. It makes us think, what was the level of the iman of Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in, that on their request, Quran came down. On one occasion, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, I was at home and one woman comes to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She places her grievances before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I was in the next room and she was mumbling something to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I could not hear it clearly. She says, Ya Rasulallah, أكل مالي وأفنى شبابي نثرت له بطني حتى إذا كبرت سني وانقطع ولدي ظاهر مني. My husband, O Nabi of Allah, he ate all my wealth, he destroyed my youth, I gave birth to his children. Now when I started aging and I cannot bear children, O Nabi of Allah, he divorces me. So Nabi Kareem Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, I was in the room and I could not hear it clearly. And she was discussing with Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when Jibreel Ameen descends and Allah Ta'ala gives it place in the Quran. It is the opening verses of Surah Mujadala, the 28th juz of the Quran, and the chapter of discussion and argument. And what does Allah say? قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ. Allah has heard the discussion of the woman that was arguing with you, O Nabi of Allah. One occasion, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was walking. Behind him, there was a large group of people. He came before this woman and he stopped. People told him, O Amirul Mu'mineen, please move ahead. By you are stopping a large army. He said, do you know who this woman is? This is that woman whose complaint was heard in the seventh sky, and wahi came down in the form of Quran and confirmed her discussion with Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So in the very same instance here, Hazrat Hilal radiallahu anhu said, O Nabi of Allah, I seen my wife guilty of this crime and I do not have substantial proof, but I know very well that I'm speaking the truth, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will reveal my innocence in the Quran. Another incident comes to mind. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, Ra'isul Munafiqeen, who was the leader of the hypocrites, one day he made a statement and he said that when we will go to Medina, if we have to go to Medina, we the honorable people and the powerful people, we will remove all the disgraced Muslims. Hazrat Zayd bin Arqam radiallahu anhu, who was a young boy at that time, heard the statement. and it hurt his heart because he was a believer. So he came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "O Nabi of Allah, this person, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, Ra'is al-Munafiqeen, has made such an evil statement." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul and asked him, "Have you made such a statement?" He negated it and he denied it. He says, "O Nabi of Allah, this is a young boy. How can you consider what he says? Whatever he has said, this is based on enmity or because he's a child." So Zayd radiallahu anhu said, "No one took my word for granted." And Abdullah bin Ubay, because he was a respectable person and he was an elderly person, so people took his word for granted. And I felt very hurt that I heard this. And unfortunately, my truth and my honesty is not manifest and has not come before the people. But it was his iman in the heart on the yaqeen of Almighty Allah. That Quran comes down, Jibreel Amin descends, confirming the statement of Abdullah ibn Ubay and proving that Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu anhu to be honest, which Almighty Allah mentions in Surah Munafiqun, and Allah says, يَقُولُونَ لَئِن رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُ وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That Abdullah and his group, they say, يَقُولُونَ لَئِن رَجَعْنَا, if we have to return to Medina, لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُ, then the elevated people will remove the downtrodden people. That is, we the munafiqeen will remove the poor sahaba. Allah Ta'ala confirming the statement of Hazrat of the statement of Zayd bin Arqam radiallahu anhu. Then Allah says, tell Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, he feels that he is the people of, they are the people of honor and might and power. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةِ, honor and respect and dignity belongs to Allah and Allah's Nabi. When this verse was revealed, then the son of Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, who was a sahabi, Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he goes to his father and he says, he takes out the sword and he tells his father, until and unless you will not acknowledge that you are the downtrodden class and you are the disgrace and the Nabi of Allah is the honored and the Nabi of Allah is the one that has izzat and dignity, until you will not acknowledge that, I will cut your neck and I will... Son, because of the spirit of Iman, the father finally acknowledges that yes, the Nabi of Allah is the greatest and I am the weakest. Anyway, as I was mentioning, Hazrat Hilal bin Umayyah radiallahu anhu said, "O Nabi of Allah, Allah will reveal something for me." Jibreel Amin descends. What does Jibreel Amin descend with? These verses which we will discuss today. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions, وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ أَزْوَاجَهُمْ, those who accuse their wives of the act of zina. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُمْ شُهَدَاءُ إِلَّا أَنفُسُهُمْ, and then they cannot present any witness and any evidence other than themselves. فَشَهَادَةُ أَحَدِهِمْ أَرْبَعُ شَهَادَاتٍ بِاللَّهِ, then this person who is accusing his wife, that is the husband, will have to give four qasams, which every qasam will represent one witness. Four oaths, and what is that? إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Hazrat Hilal and called his wife. Then Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what is the problem? He says, "O Nabi of Allah, I seen her with the act of zina. Do you have proof?" "No, O Nabi of Allah." He asked the wife, she denies it. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided in the light of these verses. And what is that? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the husband to take four qasams. And what are the four qasams which Allah Ta'ala explains to us in these verses? The husband will say, "I take an oath in the name of Allah that I am honest in my claim. And that is in accusing my wife with the act of zina. I take the qasam of Allah that this accusation of mine is correct and it's not a lie and it's not fabricated." Now we must understand, qasam is nothing ordinary. Allah Ta'ala mentions that person who uses a qasam for anything and everything, that was the condition of the munafiqeen. اتخذوا أيمانهم جنة فصدوا عن سبيل الله إنهم ساء ما كانوا يعملون. On the occasion of jihad, when the Muslims were fighting, then the munafiqeen used to take an oath that we are believers. By saying so, they used to protect themselves. And Allah Ta'ala mentions that my name is very great. ولا تجعلوا الله عرضة لأيمانكم أن تبروا وتتقوا وتصلحوا بين الناس والله سميع عليم. لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم ولكن يؤاخذكم بما كسبت قلوبكم والله غفور حليم. Allah Ta'ala mentions, do not promote my name, do not use my name for your evil things. In other words, you want to do something wrong, don't use my name. And that qasam that you take as a reality, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَكِنْ يُؤَاخِذُكُمْ, you will be taken to task, and if you break your qasam, you will be hanith and you will have to give kafara. So four qasams had to be taken. Hazrat Hilal radiallahu anhu takes the qasam, I take the qasam of Allah that I am honest in my claim against my wife that she is guilty of zina. Four qasams were taken. When it comes to the fifth one, which Almighty Allah mentions, وَالْخَامِسَةُ أَنَّ لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ إِن كَانَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ, the fifth qasam is that if I am speaking a lie, may the la'nat and may the curse of Almighty Allah descend upon me. When it was the chance of Hazrat Hilal radiallahu anhu to make this fifth qasam, which was the deciding factor, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "Oh Hilal, pause, think, ponder, contemplate. If you are speaking a lie, then stop here and take the 80 lashes of accusing your wife. And take the disgrace of this world and the disgrace of Akhirat. Because once you are going to make this fifth qasam, then this will confirm it and it will seal this. And thereafter, according to that, the decision will be made." So he says, "O Nabi of Allah, I have absolutely no hesitation and no reservation in making this fifth challenge. And that is inviting the curse of Allah on me if I'm speaking a lie. Because I know very well I'm not speaking a lie. And just as you will not give me 80 lashes for accusing my wife because I'm speaking the truth, I have yaqeen in the Zat of Allah that Allah Ta'ala will not punish me on the day of Qiyamah because I'm not speaking a lie. So I'm ready to make this challenge that is inviting the curse of Allah." The ulama have written, if a person takes the four qasams and he refuses to take the fifth qasam, that is he refuses to invite the curse of Allah, then the qazi will put him in the jail until and unless he takes that fifth qasam, or then he acknowledges that he is accusing his wife and he will be given the 80 lashes. Anyway, Hilal bin Umayyah radiallahu anhu takes the four qasams, takes the fifth qasam of inviting the curse of Allah. Now comes the chance of the wife. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks her. The Quran says, وَيَدْرَأُ عَنْهَا الْعَذَابَ أَن تَشْهَدَ أَرْبَعَ شَهَادَاتٍ بِاللَّهِ. And the woman will avert the worldly punishment. She will divert the worldly punishment from herself if she also will take four qasams. If she acknowledges it, then she will be given punished according to the Islamic law. But if she denies it, that no, O Nabi of Allah, I have not committed zina, then she will be told to take four qasams. أَن تَشْهَدَ أَرْبَعَ شَهَادَاتٍ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. She will take the four qasams. Allah's qasam, my husband is speaking a lie. 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 Four qasams she will say, proving her husband a liar. After the fourth qasam, again Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he told Hilal, he tells the wife, think, pause. If you are speaking a lie and you have committed the zina, then take the punishment. The disgrace of this dunya is much light. Respected listeners, if we ponder, at every moment Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making us aware of Almighty Allah. And we have to think of the punishment of Akhirat and the disgrace of Akhirat. So when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminded her of the disgrace of Akhirat, she paused and she started stuttering. And she was two-minded, must she take the fifth qasam or not? But then she took courage and she says, no, I'm not going to disgrace my nation. This is the words of the hadith. Now what is the fifth qasam that the wife will take? She will say, وَالْخَامِسَةَ أَنَّ غَضَبَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهَا إِنْ كَانَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. May the anger of Allah come upon me if my husband is speaking the truth. That is, in other words, if my husband is speaking the truth and that is that I am an adulteress, then may the anger of Allah come upon me. And the husband had to say, may the curse of Allah be upon me if I am speaking a lie. So she finally takes the qasam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then decided that li'an has taken place. This is exactly what li'an means. The literal meaning of li'an is to curse, and the istilahi meaning is when husband and wife doubt one another, or one party doubts another, then they will be made to take five qasams, as I have explained. Immediately after that, according to Sayyidul Fuqaha, Ra'isul Mujtahideen, Imamun al-A'zam Aba Hanifa rahimahumullah, after that the husband will be compelled to give talaq and divorce, and this talaq will suffice as talaq ba'in, after which the woman will have to serve a period of iddat, and after the period of iddat, it will be permissible for her to get married or to remarry anyone other than her first husband, lifelong. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mutala'inani la yajtami'ani abada. That couple in which li'an took place, what we just discussed, will never unite again. That is the masla and that is the order of Almighty Allah. So it will be permissible for her to get married to anyone other than her husband. And if the husband refused to divorce, then the qadi or the mufti will create tafriqa. In other words, he will pass a ruling which will suffice as talaq. Now this is the one incident that happened relevant to this occasion, which many of the ulama refer to the shani nuzul, the reason why this ayat karima was revealed. In this very same period of time, another similar incident happened. And that is on one occasion, Nabi Karim sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was on the minbar and he was delivering the very same khutbah and he recited the very same verses. So one sahabi by the name of Asim bin Adi Ansari radiallahu anhu came to me and he said, oh Nabi of Allah, similar incident like what is Sa'd bin Ubadah. If a person sees his wife, must he go and search for witnesses? Again, we must understand the sahaba, a person who had preserved his fitrat, he cannot accept seeing his wife in this condition. Where is he going to call someone else? So he posed this question to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Friday that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned it in the khutbah. And in that very same week, an incident happened in his very same family. He had a cousin whose name was Uwaymir Ajlani. And this cousin of his was married to a girl who was also his cousin, whose name was Khawla. On one occasion, this person, that is Uwaymir Ajlani, comes home and he finds his wife Khawla with a strange person by the name of Shariq bin Samha. He was very perturbed and disturbed, and blood gushed into his cheeks, and he couldn't handle the situation. He didn't know what to do. So he came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, this is what has transpired. Must I kill my wife? If I will kill her, then people will kill me. But I don't know what to do, oh Nabi of Allah." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Don't worry, oh my sahabi. Call your wife. Qad anzalallahu fika. Allah ta'ala has revealed a law pertaining to an incident of this nature." Now the ulama ikram have debated the fact that which was the first incident, which is the shani nuzul, which incident happened on which these ayat karima were revealed. From the words of the hadith which I have quoted, like Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh, holding the very same verdict, he says that the incident that we discussed first, that is of Hilal ibn Umayyah, that was the shani nuzul, because the words of the hadith prove فَنَزَلَ Jibril. Just after the incident, Jibril Amin descended. And on this occasion, the words of the hadith is قَدْ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فِيكَ. Allah has already revealed regarding you, but the sahabi was not informed of this particular law because it had just revealed, and this incident happened in the very same period of time. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once again called Hazrat Uwaymir Ajlani and then called his wife also, and according to the Islamic ruling of Li'an which we just discussed, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed the ruling. Thereafter Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now this is the teachings of Islam again, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qadha bi alla turma wala waladuha. In the incident of Hazrat Hilal radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told husband and wife that one of you is speaking the truth and one of you is speaking a lie. That is between you and Allah. The decision is left to Allah. But after Li'an was passed, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught all the Muslims one lesson. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, we do not know who has spoken the truth and we do not know who has spoken a lie. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we will not refer to the man as an accuser and we will not refer to the woman as an adulteress, wala waladuha, and we will not refer to the child as an illegitimate child. Of course, one of the two is speaking a lie. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, because the truth is not manifest and it's not vivid before us, we will not accuse them and we will not criticize neither the child nor the mother. This is the beautiful teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, because the father has negated it and the child that will be born, he says that it wasn't with me, it was with so and so. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the lineage of this child will go with the mother, because we don't know who is the father. The father that the husband is saying, that is the strange person the mother denies, and the father, the actual father, he denies it. He says that this is not my child. So this lineage, the lineage of this child will go with the mother and the lineage will not go with the father. That is the ruling pertaining to Li'an. So basically in these four ayat karima which I have just recited before you, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala discusses the incident when a person accuses his wife. When he accuses a strange woman, we explain that if you do not have substantial proof, then do not submit the claim of fornication. The most you can say is they are having unlawful relations. But when it comes to your wife, if you will observe silence, then how can a person sleep with that pain that his wife is having an affair with someone else? Of course, I am highlighting this repeatedly. We are speaking of people who fear Allah. Otherwise, respected listeners, if a person doesn't fear Allah, then for his wife to look at a strange person, we take the incident of Maryam alayhi salam. It comes in the mind now, Allahu Akbar. The ulama have discussed who is the greatest woman. Either it is Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam, Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Fatima, or Hazrat Khadija. There are various opinions. And some opinions are Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Khadija, etc. ala ikhtilaf al-aqwal. In fact, in the third juz, Allah Ta'ala mentions of the Quran, وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Oh Maryam, Allah has given you status over the entire dunya. Now let us look at a woman who has preserved her nature. After taking a ghusl, I have discussed this in detail in Surah Maryam, but relevant to the occasion, we will just once again highlight it briefly. After taking the ghusl, when she comes out, فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. Jibreel Amin comes before her. Now a woman who fears Allah, when she seen this person dressed in this white garb, who is a strange person, who is not her husband, قالت إني أعوذ بالرحمن منك إن كنت تقيا. By who are you, for Allah's sake, move from here. I don't know who you are. I don't want any third person to see her speaking. A woman who fears Allah cannot withstand the company of a strange person for a second. This is the woman, the quality and the attribute of that person who Allah refers to as the greatest woman as far as the entire dunya is concerned. It will be really evil on our part that unfortunately, because our environment is so polluted, we have become so immune to the system that it is something ta'awwadna alayhi, it has become part of our life. All we can say is, ya la fasad al-dhawq, ya la su'il ikhtiyar, what an evil choice, what an evil taste, that what was just liked by the greatest woman is liked by the Maryam of today. Allah give me also tawfiq. Allah give everyone tawfiq. I am no one to criticize anyone. Allah must protect me firstly. I am a sinner and I need the assistance and the guidance of Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala protect us and protect every Muslim male and female. But the point that I am highlighting here is that woman who is regarded as the greatest woman cannot withstand seeing a stranger for one second. We must ask ourselves, my brothers and our sisters, many a times we enjoy the company of strangers. What has happened to our iman? May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala instill in our hearts the love of the obedience of Allah, and may He instill in our hearts the dislike of evil and vice, whether it means fornication or any other act of evil and disobedience. Allahumma habib ilayna al-iman wa zayyinhu fi qulubina wa karrih ilayna al-kufra wal-fusuqa wal-usyan. Allahumma ja'alna min al-rashidin. Oh Allah Ta'ala, put iman in our heart, let it penetrate into every fiber and tissue of our body. Wa karrih ilayna al-kufra wal-fusuqa wal-usyan. And oh Allah, create in our hearts the dislike of evil, disobedience and the violation of your orders. After discussing this order of Almighty Allah and this way out, Almighty Allah mentions, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ حَكِيمٌ. If it wasn't for the mercy of Allah, the kindness of Allah, the rahmat of Almighty Allah, then you would have been in great difficulties. In other words, if Allah did not reveal a separate hukam and a separate law when it came to accusing your wife, and if Allah Ta'ala had to only reveal one order, that if you don't have substantial proof, then don't submit the claim and live lifelong with the pain of knowing the fact that your wife is an adulteress. If Allah Ta'ala had to only reveal that hukam, then it would have been so difficult for so many people that they would have to keep their mouths quiet. And if they had to make the claim against their wife without substantial proof, then they would have been left 80 lashes. So if it wasn't the mercy of Allah that came in the form of a different hukam, then you would have been in so much difficulties and problems. Or like Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Usmani rahimahumullah writes in Tafsir Uthmani, that what was the form of the mercy of Allah? If Allah Ta'ala had to say that no, in an instance of this nature, we will tell the husband to take 4 qasams, and once he has taken 4 qasams, then we will regard the wife guilty of the crime. And we will base it totally on the qasam of the husband. It could happen that perhaps the wife is innocent. So if Allah Ta'ala had to only put the qasams on the husband, then there could be chances that the poor woman could have been lashed or pelted innocently. Or if Allah Ta'ala had to say that the qasams is only on the woman, then the man could be accused and could be lashed 80 lashes for accusing his wife. But if we study these verses and these ayat of Almighty Allah, Allah Ta'ala has taken into consideration the emotions of husband and wife, and for the benefit of insan, for the benefit or the betterment of his life, so that he can have a peaceful life, Allah Ta'ala has revealed these verses, which Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. If it wasn't for these divine guidance and these divine laws, وَرَحْمَتُهُ, and the mercy of Allah, which has come in the form of Quran, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. That is why we are told by Almighty Allah, tell them, O Nabi of Allah, express your joy and your happiness on the revelation of the Quran and such ahkam that will keep our environment so clean and so pure, which will protect us from zina, which will protect the intermingling of sexes and will keep us in a pure and a healthy environment. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ حَكِيمٌ. And the fact that Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving and is full of hikmat and wisdom, we make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala protect our environment, and may Allah make it such that an episode of this nature mustn't come in my house or the house of my brother or my sister, or this incident mustn't happen in the house of any Muslim throughout the entire dunya. Allah Ta'ala protect our environment. Allah keep us free from zina. Allah Pak keep us free from every act of his disobedience. And may Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala instill within our hearts the sweetness of the obedience of Almighty Allah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين جاءوا بالإفك عصبة منكم لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم. لكل امرئ منهم ما اكتسب من الإثم والذي تولى كبره منهم له عذاب عظيم. لولا إذ سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا وقالوا هذا إفك مبين. لولا جاءوا عليه بأربعة شهداء فإذ لم يأتوا بالشهداء فأولئك عند الله هم الكاذبون. ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته في الدنيا والآخرة لمسكم فيما أفضتم فيه عذاب عظيم، إذ تلقونه بألسنتكم وتقولون بأفواهكم ما ليس لكم به علم وتحسبونه هينا وهو عند الله عظيم. ولولا إذ سمعتموه قلتم ما يكون لنا أن نتكلم بهذا سبحانك هذا بهتان عظيم. يعظكم الله أن تعودوا لمثله أبدا إن كنتم مؤمنين، ويبين الله لكم الآيات والله عليم حكيم. الله تبارك وتعالى first discussed the consequences and the penalty of a person who accuses a strange woman with zina. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala explained to us, if a person accuses his own wife with zina, what is the shari ruling, which we refer to as li'an. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, relevant to the occasion, mentioned an episode which transpired in the time of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the greatest woman was accused with this act of zina. And that is none other than the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the wife of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mother of the entire ummah, wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum, Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Indeed, this is a very sad incident, and it is referred to in the books of hadith as the qissa ifk. Ifk means the fabrication of a lie. This was the greatest lie that could be fabricated, and that is where someone accuses a munafiq, the leader of the munafiqeen, Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul, Ra'isul Munafiqeen, fabricate such a great lie that he accuses the wife of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after all from all the wives, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was most beloved to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the act of zina. Let us have a look at what Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha herself says in the words of Muslim Sharif, narrating this incident, this great test that came on Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, came on Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Can we imagine this period of time that people are passing rumors that na'uzu billah, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha had an unlawful relation with an innocent sahabi by the name of Safwan bin Mu'attal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, I went with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one campaign, Ghazwa Bani al-Mustalik, and this happened on the 6th year of Hijri. And she says, after we had completed and we were returning back to Medina, وَدَنَوْنَا مِنَ الْمَدِينَةِ, we were close to Medina, آذَنَ لَيْلَةً بِالرَّحِيلِ, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given the hukam that now we will start safar and we will move. So as the caravan started moving, and I was also traveling, the practice was that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha used to sit down in her hodaj, and then the person responsible used to lift this hoda and used to place it on the top of the camel. So it was, and this was after the revelation of hijab and parda. So this hoda was covered from every corner with parda and veil. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was a young girl, so she wasn't heavy. She didn't really have any weight. She used to sit inside. The person responsible used to come, lift the hoda, place it on the camel, and then this amanat was given to this person. And then, of course, he used to hold the bridle of the camel and used to take this camel with the balance of the caravan. So Aisha radiallahu anha says, the caravan stopped at a certain point, and I had the call of nature. I wanted to relieve myself. So I went, فَلَمَّا قَضَيْتُ مِنْ شَأْنِي, when I relieved myself and I was completed with my necessity, أَقْبَلْتُ إِلَى الرَّحْلِ, I started returning back to the caravan. And فَلَمَسْتُ صَدْرِي, I felt my chest. And I found فَإِذَا إِقْدِي, my necklace was broken and was missing. Now naturally a woman, for her jewelry means everything. أَوَمَنْ يُنَشَّأُ فِي الْحِلْيَةِ, which Almighty Allah discusses in the Quran, jewelry is the beauty of a woman. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, فَلَمَسْتُ عِقْدِي, I started searching for my necklace. فَحَبَسَنِي إِبْتِغَاؤُهُ, in looking for my necklace, I didn't realize time was passing by, and my hoda was lifted, and it was placed onto the camel, and the caravan started moving, not realizing that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wife, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, is not with the campaign, is not with the caravan. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, after I found it, I came back to the point where I had left the caravan, but to my utter surprise, when I came there, وَأَقْبَلَ الرَّهْتُ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا يَرْحَلُونَ لِي, they continued and they did not wait for me, thinking that I was perhaps in the hoda. And then she gives the answer, she says, perhaps the thought, someone might think that how could they place the hoda on top of the camel when they would have realized that it is so light, that means that Aisha radiallahu anha is not inside. So she says, no, وَكَانَتِ النَّاسُ إِذَّاكَ خِفَافًا, those days the women were very light, and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was a child basically. They used to eat very simple food, so they did not realize that there was no one inside. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, فَبَيْنَمَا أَنَا جَالِسَةٌ فِي مَنْزِلِ, I came to the place where I had left the caravan, and I decided to myself, I came to such a place, in the words of Muslim she says, لَيْسَ فِيهَا دَاعٍ وَلَا مُجِيبٌ, there was absolutely no soul there. Can we imagine, for a young girl stranded, the caravan had left, and there is absolutely no one near her. Now she thought to herself, she says that if I am going to search for them, if I go in the east direction, perhaps they in the west, and if I go in the north, perhaps they in the south. So she decided to herself, فَتَيَمَّمْتُ مَنْزِلِي أَلَّذِي كُنْتُ فِيهِ وَظَنَنْتُ. Look at her intelligence at that young age of hers also. أَنَّ الْقَوْمَ سَيَفْقِدُونَنِي فَيَرْجِعُونَ إِلَيَّ. She said, I know when the caravan will continue, after a period of time they will realize that I am not in the Huda, and they are going to return, and they are going to search for me firstly at the point where they left me. So it will be most advisable for me to station myself here and to make sabr and to remain seated here. When they come and they will find me here, then I will join them and I will return back to Madinah Munawwara. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, it was night time, فَغَلَبَتْنِي عَيْنَايَا. Sleep overpowered me and I fell off to sleep. Hazrat Safwan bin Mu'attal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was given this responsibility by Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is to come at the end of the caravan and he is to see if anyone was left behind, or any goods or any belongings of anyone was left behind. He is to pick it up and then he is to bring it to Madinah Munawwara. So that Safwan radiallahu anhu, as usual, following at the back of the caravan, seeing that if any goods or belongings were left behind, or any person perhaps perchance was left behind, he was coming also. فَرَآ سَوَادَ إِنسَانٍ. From a distance, Hazrat Safwan radiallahu anhu seen the shape and the body of someone. And as he came close, فَعَرَفَنِي حِينَ رَآنِي. When he seen me, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu says, he recognized me immediately. Now immediately she answers the question, how did he recognize me? Whereas the order of parda was already revealed. وَقَدْ كَانَ يَرَانِي قَبْلَ أَنْ يُضْرَبَ الْحِجَابُ عَلَيَّ. She says that Hazrat Safwan radiallahu anhu had seen me prior to the revelation of hijab and veil. So he had recognized me and he knew how I look. So when he seen me, immediately he made me out. And what did he say? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahu Akbar. These were the only words that he said. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Then the wife of the Nabi of Allah, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, being a woman stranded here in the jungle, there is no one near her. Now, you and I would perhaps think that this is an occasion, it's a valid excuse, and it would be correct for me to speak to this person, and it would be correct for me perhaps not to keep my parda on, because Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha is in such a predicament and such a situation. But let us see the awareness of the orders of Allah that the wife of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba had on every occasion. She says immediately, when he recited, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ فَاسْتَيْقَظْتُ بِاسْتِرْجَاعِهِ. By him reading, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ, I got up immediately. فَخَمَّرْتُ وَجْهِي بِجِلْبَابِ. Without looking right, without looking left, without questioning who it is, without asking him a word. I only heard the words of a male. Immediately I took my scarf and I covered my face completely. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, let us ponder, my mothers and sisters. What excuse of ours can be valid today when Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha is stranded? And after all, it is the wife of the Nabi of Allah. It is the golden era of Nabuwat. It is the Sahabi of Allah. Many a time the thought crosses our mind that no, I have no evil intentions. Hasha wa kalla, how can there ever be evil intentions here? But what does Hazrat Aisha say? I did not question who this person is. I heard his voice and I heard the sound of a strange person, of a male. Immediately, فَخَمَّرْتُ وَجْهِي بِجِلْبَابِ. I took my scarf and I covered my face immediately. And now look at the piety of Hazrat Safwan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. وَوَاللَّهِ مَا يُكَلِّمُنِي كَلِمَةً. Allah's Qasam, Safwan did not utter one word to me. وَلَا سَمِعْتُ مِنْهُ كَلِمَةً. And I did not hear him telling me anything other than إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Look at his intelligence. We think that many a times if we cannot speak to females, or we cannot speak to the opposite party, then it will become an obstacle for our progress. Here, Hazrat Safwan radiallahu anhu teaches us, without uttering a word, whatever was to be done in great wisdom and intelligence, he shows it to us without uttering one word and speaking to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. He makes the intizam and the arrangement for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha to get back to Madinah Munawwara. What does he do? Ana kharahilatahu. He sits his camel before Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha and he stands in front of the camel. Subhanallah. This was the piety of Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. One woman in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she lost her son. So she came out, Umm Khallat, to ask Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she was muntaqibatun, she had a parda over her face. So someone told her, you have lost your son and you are coming to inquire, has your son been martyred or not, or what is the condition, and you come in the state of veil. In other words, in this condition, when you have lost your son, when a person has absolutely no control over himself, or she has no control over herself, how can you come out in the state of parda at this moment? She says, I have lost my son, I have not lost my modesty. I've lost my son. Why must I lose my sharam and my haya? Why must I disobey my Allah? My haya is still with me. Yes, I have lost my son and I'm experiencing sorrow and grief and remorse. But I will not lose my haya. So Hazrat Safwan radiallahu ta'ala anhu places the camel, seats the camel before Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, I mounted onto the camel and he held the bridle of the camel and we proceeded towards Medina Munawwara. And we arrived to Medina Munawwara about Dhuhr time. فَقَدِمْنَا الْمَدِينَةِ Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, when we came to Medina, I noticed that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam's approach with me was different. Now people started passing the rumor as they came into Medina. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, he took advantage of the opportunity and it was the practice of the enemies of Islam to inconvenience Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam in every possible way. When the verses Tabbat Yada were revealed regarding the destruction of Abu Lahab, the wife of Abu Lahab, she started saying, Mudammamun asayna, amrahu abayna, deenahu qalayna. Mudammamun, she said, in exchange of Muhammad, meaning the praised one, she said, Mudammamun, the criticized one, the disgraced one. Mudammamun asayna, we disobey him. Amrahu abayna, his message we deny. Deenahu qalayna, and his religion we hate. And then she came in Masjid Nabawi with stones in her hand. And she wanted to throw Nabi Kareem, she wanted to throw the stones at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abu Bakr said, oh Nabi of Allah, she is coming towards you. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innaha lan tarani. Oh Abu Bakr, don't fear, she can never see me. Allah Ta'ala has put a veil over her and she will not be able to see me. So Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul took the advantage of hurting the heart of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he started going around to the people and passing the rumor. You know what? Na'udhu billah, Aisha radiallahu anha and Safwan bin Mu'attala having unlawful relations and there they came together. Naturally they stayed behind. Na'udhu billah, whatever he wanted to say, poison in the hearts and the minds of the people. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha knew nothing about the matter. And it so happened in the process, the person that was the instigator of this fitna was a munafiq, but few innocent, genuine sahaba fell target to this claim and this accusation against Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, who were namely Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, who is known as Sha'iru Rasulillah, the poet of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Mistah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is from amongst the participants of Badr, and Hazrat Himna bint Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, I did not know anything, but all I noticed, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's approach with me was very different. He used to come to the house and he used to ask me, Kayfatikum ya Aisha? How are you feeling, O Aisha? And this used to, that's all, nothing more. He wouldn't speak to me and he wouldn't ask me of anything. And I noticed that lutf, the words of Muslim is that she says, La a'rifu min Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-lutfa alladhi kuntu ara minhu hina ashtaki. Whenever I used to feel sick and I used to complain to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the love and the muhabbat he used to give me, on this occasion he did not express that love. Now she was completely in the dark and she did not realize this was the rumor that was being passed against her in Medina Munawwara, which was instigated by the leader of the munafiqeen, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, Ra'isul Munafiqeen. She says, one day, it was in the night that I wanted to go to toilet, so I took the mother of Mistah radiallahu anhu with me. Mistah was amongst those sahaba who also fell in this accusation against Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. And she says, I went to relieve myself. And after relieving myself, as we were returning, فَعَثَرَتْ أُمُّ مِسْتَحْ The mother of Mistah radiallahu anhu, her leg slipped and she fell. So immediately she said, تَعِفَ مِسْتَحْ Woe be to my son Mistah! Destruction be to my son Mistah! So as Aisha radiallahu anha said, I told her, O Ummi Mustah, you have slept and you are fallen. Why are you cursing your son Mistah? He has participated in Badr. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ اِطَّلَعَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالَ اَعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَقَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ That Allah Ta'ala has accepted the participants of Badr so much that Allah Ta'ala has pardoned their sins just on their participating in Badr. So why are you speaking bad about your son? So Mistah radiallahu anha's mother told me, يَا هَنْتَا عَلَيْ بُوِرِي تَنِكَ هَمَتْ شَيْكَنِي Oh Aisha, do you know what my son is saying about you? So she said, no, I don't know what is he saying. What do you mean, oh the mother of Mistah? She says that the people are passing a rumor that na'uzu billah you and Hazrat Safwan radiallahu anhu had an illegal and unlawful relation. And unfortunately my son Mistah is also amongst those people that are of this opinion or who have to a certain extent approved this accusation against you. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu said, now everything fell into proportion. Now I understood why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was speaking to me in that different tone. Now I had realized that I had noticed many things that were unusual, but I just couldn't understand that why this was happening. Now when she told me what the reality of the matter was, I understood exactly what was happening behind my back.
فلما رجعت الى بيتي when I returned home دخل علي رسول الله نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم came to me فسلم he greeted me ثم قال كيف فيكم he asked me how are you يا عائشة so I told him oh Nabi of Allah give me permission I want to go and visit my parents and I want to go and investigate the matter نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم said no problem you can go to your parents I came home and I told my mother يا أمتا ما يتحدث الناس ما يتحدث الناس oh my mother what are the people speaking a young girl can we imagine this test of Allah that is coming if someone is to accuse my daughter what will happen to my daughter herself what will happen to me what will happen to the husband can we imagine this is the daughter of Abu Bakr the wife of the Nabi of Almighty Allah what a test came of course everything was happening in the plan of Almighty Allah So I asked my mother, what are the people saying regarding me? I don't know, I only came to know about it now. And that is also the mother of Mistah radiallahu anhu who has informed me. So my mother told me, after all, the mother is worried. And the mother, at every given moment, the son can be wrong or the son can be right. After all, ye tomorrow dikra chai. Dikra awe keini tarki bhoolte ge, awe tu maaf mangi le, ne mamlo pachawi le. Ask them maaf and overlook the thing, don't fight, don't argue. Imagine. The mother of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, Hawwini alayki, oh my daughter, oh my betty, take it easy. Don't get so tense, don't cry so much, take it easy. Fawallahi, she mentioned an ajeeb statement, the mother of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, لَقَلَّمَا كَانَتْ إِمْرَأَةٌ قَتُّ وَضِيئَةً إِنْدَ رَجُلٍ يُحِبُّهَا وَلَهَا ذَرَائِرْ إِلَّا كَثَّرْنَ عَلَيْهَا Oh my daughter, for a person of your caliber and your nature, naturally you are going to have people that are going to have enmity against you because you are the wife of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very fond of you. So things of this nature is going to happen with you. People are going to have jealousy, and they are going to have all types of plans to accuse you and to oppose you and to cause inconvenience and difficulty to you. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, فَبَكَيْتُ تِلْكَ اللَّيْلَ حَتَّى أَصْبَحْتُ Allah's Qasam, I didn't sleep for 1 second, whole night I cried continuously. وَلَا أَكْتَحِلُ بِنَوْمٍ I just couldn't fall off to sleep. I said, Ya Allah, what are the people saying regarding me? Now, on the other hand, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 1 month has passed like this. Jibreel Amin does not descend with any revelation confirming the innocence of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. The rumor is carrying on as we will discuss in the words of the Quran what Allah Ta'ala mentions. إِذْ تَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ People were passing the message from one to another. It had become the topic of discussion. Can we imagine Abu Bakr and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How can they see one another? Can we imagine Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he made mashura with them, what should he do regarding this matter that has happened? So Hazrat Usama radiallahu anhu said, Oh Nabi of Allah, this is your wife, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will not choose any ordinary woman for you. I think you should deny this rumor that people are passing without waiting for any confirmation from revelation and accept it that your wife is innocent and Ya Rasool Allahum Ahluk wa la na'lamu illa khaira. She is your wife and we only know good regarding your household. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala who gave a different opinion, he said, Oh Nabi of Allah, of course we also hold the same opinion regarding Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, but if you feel that you are been discomforted and you are not feeling at ease and you want to perform nikah with someone else, then Allah Ta'ala has given you ijazat, you can perform nikah, Allah Ta'ala has given you the ijazat and the permission. قَدْ أَحْلَلْنَا لَكَ أَزْوَاجِكَ اللَّاتِ آتَيْتَ أُجُورَهُنَّ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ يَمِينُكَ Then Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, Oh Nabi of Allah, let's ask Barira, who was the slave of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu, she will know better regarding Hazrat Aisha. So she also spoke very good regarding Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, in this manner I kept on crying and crying. One day Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anha, in this period of time, this 1 month, Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anha's wife comes home and she says, Oh Abu Ayyub, do you know what the people are saying regarding Hazrat Aisha? He says, what are they saying? She says, they are passing the evil act, the rumor of zina. Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anha said, it can never happen and I will not investigate the matter. I can put my head on the block, Allah's Qasam, this will never happen. Then he asked his wife, tell me, will you do something like this? So she says, no. So then he told his wife, you being the wife of Abu Ayyub, you won't do it. Tell me, Aisha being the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will she do it? Will Allah choose any ordinary woman for his wife? Will Allah choose any ordinary woman to be the wife of the Nabi of Almighty Allah? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, I continued crying and crying. And my parents got so worried. In the words of Muslim, it comes, وَأَبَوَايَ يَظُنَّانِ أَنَّ الْبُكَاءَ فَالِقٌ كَبَدِ My parents thought, I told Rari Rani ne pati jahe. کہ اوے بوتے یو بس کر دکھ رہے ہاؤ مچ آر یو گونو کرائی یو ول کیپ آن کرائنگ بٹ وی مسٹ اپریشیٹ دا پریڈیکمنٹ آف حضرت عائشہ رضی اللہ عنہا شی سیز آئی واز ان دس کنڈیشن اینڈ آئی واز کرائنگ سڈنلی ون وومن کمز ٹو می اینڈ شی ٹیکس اجازت اینڈ شی کمز ان دا ہاؤس اینڈ جسٹ دین نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کمز ٹو می اینڈ دس واز دا فرسٹ اوکیزن دین نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کیم ٹو می اینڈ سیٹ نیکسٹ ٹو می اینڈ ڈسکس دس میٹر وتھ می سنس دا رومر ہیڈ کمنس دیٹ ایز ناؤ آفٹر دا پاسنگ آف ون منتھ وقد لبث شهرا لا يوحى اليه في شأني بشيء ون منتھ ہیڈ پاس نو ریولیشن ہیڈ کم آن نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کنفرمنگ مائی انسنس شی سیز نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کیم ٹو می اینڈ شی سیڈ او عائشہ ان کنتی بریئہ اف یو آر انسنٹ دین اللہ ول پروو یور انسنس وَإِن كُنْتِ أَلْمَمْتِ بِذَنْبٍ and if perchance you have committed any wrong فَاسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهَ وَتُوبِ إِلَيْهِ then repent to Almighty Allah فَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا اَعْتَرَفَ بِذَنْبٍ because when a servant repents to Allah then Allah is ready to pardon the servant so Allah Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not criticize her and he did not mention anything in fact in one word in one riwayat of Bukhari it comes I read Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said مَا عَلِمْتُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ إِلَّا خَيْرًا I only know good regarding Hazrat Aisha but of course Wahi did not come confirming what Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, the innocence of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. After Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this to Hazrat Aisha said, I told my father, you stand up, ajib an answer on my behalf and you tell the Nabi of Allah that I am innocent. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said, my father made some excuse and he said, ma adri ma aqulu li rasulillah, oh my daughter, as much as I love you, but I don't know what to tell the Nabi of Allah. So I told my mother, ajibi anni. Oh my mother, you love me and I love you. You tell the Nabi of Allah that I'm innocent. My mother also made an excuse and she says, as much as I love you, I don't know what I must tell the Nabi of Allah. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said, you can imagine, وَأَنَا جَارِيَةٌ حَدِيثَةُ السِّنِ I was a young small girl. They were respectable people. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my father, my mother, no one wants to speak. People are harboring evil thoughts against me. People are of the opinion that perhaps I had this ta'alluq with this sahabi Hazrat Safwan radiallahu anhu. Finally, I had to take courage and I had to speak. She takes courage and she speaks with such words of wisdom and she says, لَقَدْ عَرَفْتُ أَنَّكُمْ قَدْ سَمِعْتُمْ هَذَا I know very well you people have been listening to this rumor against me. حَتَّى اسْتَقَرَّ فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ And you have heard it so repeatedly that it has to a certain extent penetrated in the depth of your heart. And I think you people are approving of what has happened. وَصَدَّقْتُمْ بِهِ And you have accepted it. وَلَئِنْ قُلْتُ لَكُمْ أَنِّي بَرِيئَةٌ And if I must tell you, Allah's Qasam, I am innocent. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ أَنِّي بَرِيئَةٌ And Allah's Qasam, Allah knows I am innocent. لَا تُصَدِّقُونِي بِذَلِكَ You won't accept my verdict. And you will say that I'm just trying to defend myself. وَلَئِنْ اَعْتَرَفْتُ لَكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ And if I must say I'm guilty, just to please you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ أَنِّي بَرِيئَةٌ And Allah knows I'm innocent. I'll be speaking a lie if I say I am guilty. لَا تُصَدِّقُونِي You will accept me. Then she says, إِنِّي وَاللَّهِ مَا أَجِدُ لِي وَلَكُمْ مَثَلًا إِلَّا كَمَا قَالَ أَبُو يُوسُفُ Allah's Qasam, O the Nabi of Allah, and O my father, and O my mother, and all the people of Medina, I don't know what to tell you, other than what the father of Yusuf alayhi salam, that is Yaqub alayhi salam, told his children, when they came with the sad story, that, O our father, the wolf had devoured your son Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. What did he tell his children at that time? I will tell you, O my Nabi, and I will tell you, O my parents, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ I will exercise patience and Allah knows best and I will turn to Almighty Allah to help me in this situation. She says, I said that and I went away like we say, ek kona ma bichari jaine ralti teke. She says, I went away from there. Whatever I could cry, I cried out. My tears were dry and I sat there and I said, I knew in the bottom of my heart that Allah Ta'ala is going to confirm to His Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam my innocence. She says, I am hardly moved. The majlis had not yet terminated. Those that were present were still present when they seen the condition of wahi on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, I thought that Allah Ta'ala will reveal my innocence in the form of a dream. Allah will reveal it to His Nabi in a dream and explain to him that your wife is innocent. But it was when I realized what Allah Ta'ala and how Allah Ta'ala had rewarded me for my patience. It was a few minutes and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called me and said, Abshiri ya Aisha, Mubarak O Aisha, Allah Ta'ala has confirmed your innocence. And these verses that I have just recited before you, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in 10 verses of the Quran, announces, publicizes, highlights, explains in great detail the innocence of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's wife, that is the mother of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, told her, "Oh Aisha, Qumi, stand up and now go and thank Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said, "No, I am going to thank Almighty Allah. Wala ahmadu illallah, huwa alladhi anzala bara'ati. It is Almighty Allah that has announced my innocence." With reference to Tafsir Qurtubi, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha used to boast and she used to say, when Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam was accused with the act of zina, then Allah Ta'ala made one child speak and confirm his innocence. وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا إِن كَانَ قَمِيصُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ قُبُلٍ فَصَدَقَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ وَإِن كَانَ قَمِيصُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرٍ فَكَذَبَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. And when Maryam alayhi salatu was salam was accused with the act of zina, Ya ukhta Haruna ma kana abuki imra'a sawin wa ma kanat ummuki baghiya. Then Almighty Allah made her son Isa alayhi salatu was salam prove the innocence of his mother. But Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, when I was accused with zina, then Allah Ta'ala did not make the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala did not make his Nabi prove my innocence. Almighty Allah himself, in the form of Quran, not in indication or in one, two verses, but in great detail, in close to two rukus, as Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi writes, in 10 verses of the Quran, Allah highlights the innocence of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. This is exactly what Almighty Allah mentions. إن الذين جاءوا بالإفك عصبة منكم لا تحسبوه شرا لكم. Verily those people who brought forth the slander and the accusation against Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, عصبة منكم, a group from amongst you. The term group from amongst you is used because Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, although he was not from amongst the believers, but he claimed to be that he was from amongst the believers and people took him as a Muslim. لا تحسبوه شرا لكم. Almighty Allah mentions, do not regard it bad for yourself. Of course, for the believers, for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the parents of Hazrat Aisha, it was very difficult. It was a very bitter pill to swallow, this accusation and this uneasiness and this restlessness that carried on for 1 month, and only after 1 month was her innocence revealed. So they were really perturbed and disturbed. Allah Ta'ala says, لا تحسبوه شرا لكم. Do not regard it bad for you. بل هو خير لكم. Allah Ta'ala has kept good hidden in this incident. And that is Almighty Allah is going to explain the piety and the innocence of Hazrat Aisha. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, I did not regard myself so great in the eyes of Allah that Allah will reveal my innocence in the form of Quran, that these verses, the tilawat of these verses will be made and it will remain in the Quran till the day of Qiyamah. I got a shock, and when I seen this confirmation of my innocence in the form of Quran, I stood up and I started crying with joy and with happiness in the state of ecstasy that Allah Ta'ala has discussed my innocence in so much length and detail. Then Almighty Allah mentions, لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَكْتَسَبَ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ. For every one of them, will earn the sin according to how much he accused or what part he played in this accusation of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. One was Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, who was the instigator. Then there were certain Sahaba who approved of it. There were certain Sahaba who perhaps did not approve of it but did not deny it, which was also incorrect, as Allah Ta'ala mentions, it is the shan of a believer that when the wife of the Nabi is been accused, without investigating, you must deny it. You shouldn't even remain silent at that time, because to a certain extent, silence will indicate approval. So Allah Ta'ala says, لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَكْتَسَبَ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ. According to how much they promoted of this lie, according to that, they will receive the sin. We stop here and we see what does Almighty Allah mention. We make dua to Almighty Allah. He protect our tongue from accusing anyone of zina, and may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us of this act of zina, and Allah protect our tongues of accusing anyone of this act of zina. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.